we can make the case. Research is out there that just prioritizing connection over productivity is the fastest way to get the productivity. When people have the sense of belongings and feel valued and be part of something, the productivity goes up.
Don't conduct your analysis in isolation, because data is so incredibly powerful.
Not defending just the tribe, but defending the organization.
Those creative people that you really want to keep empowered, keep excited, keep motivated, keep thinking.
A good experience pays dividends down the line.
Stereotypes tend to break down in proximity.
Welcome to We're Only Human, a podcast about human resources, business, technology, and the workplace. My name is Ben Eubanks, your host, and I'm so glad you're here.
Hey everyone, it's Ben Eubanks. Welcome to We're Only Human. I'm glad that you're here with us today, and I'm really looking forward to today's conversation. I have been for a while now, and really diving in on how to help our new people when they join the team, like really connect in, get to know the people around them, help others get to know them as well. And we all know that's generally a good idea, but we don't always know how to do it well. And so today I'm here with Junko Fukuma, and we're going to talk about how they do that at her organization. She's an HR leader out there. I had a chance to meet her at an event last fall, and I'm so glad for her to be here with me. Welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, for sure. So before we get into some of the fun stuff I want to dive into with you today, would you take just a minute and tell the audience more about who you are and what you do, please?
Sure. So, okay, who I am. My name is Junko Fukuma. I was born and raised in Japan, but came to the United States when I was 25 years old and never left. I live in Florida with my husband and a golden retriever and a black cat. I'm an introvert, a bookworm, a lifelong learner. And my academic background, that's my kind of interest, is in culture and communication, gender studies, psychology, and management. And speaking of what I do, I've been in human resources for just about 22 years. I've worked in the different industries, started my HR career as a HR administrator and translator at a tier one Japanese automotive supplier in Mississippi. And then I moved to Florida, worked a few different industries, social services, healthcare, medical device, and I've been in the workers' comp industry since 2016. So I recently assumed the role of AVP talent, and the talent team consists of HR business partners, talent acquisition, learning and development, HRIS, payroll, and facilities. That's what I do.
That's awesome. I'm fascinated by all of that. There was a point in my early career days that I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, what I wanted to be, right? Looking at all the books and reading all the stuff. And there was a point where I was like, I'm sort of interested in being a translator. I wanted to learn Spanish to do translation there. And now I don't do that now, but I was just fascinated with languages, and I still am. My daughters are in Spanish class at school this year.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's been so much fun. I'm like, come home and practice, please. It's just a joy for me. And I just love languages. So that's really neat.
Yeah, I wasn't a good translator. I did it okay, but I was too opinionated. So you have to translate.
We're going to talk today about communications, though. And it's interesting to me, this thread that winds through your career where you did that piece of it. You talked about being drawn into like the communications aspect of work and some of those types of roles, things like that over the years. And now, so I'll tease this for the audience here. We're going to talk about this thing that I saw you present on recently at an event called a Me Manual. And I want to hear more about that, because it ties into this bigger theme that your career's had, where it's about communications and getting people together and helping them understand each other. And we can use this in the workplace. And I want to hear more about that.
Sure. So Me Manual is a tool that we use at our company. We use it to create and really foster connections and belonging. Mm-hmm. So it's essentially a user manual. It's a brief, like 1 to 2 page written guide that explains how best to work with someone. So it has questions like which activities gives you energy, which depletes you, or what qualities do you particularly value in people who you work with, or what are some things that people might misunderstand about you, and can you clarify? These are the kind of things that takes long time, sometimes maybe 6 months or years to learn about someone. But the idea is, wouldn't that be nice? Everybody comes with a user manual.
Yeah, goodness. I know my kids didn't, and that would have been super, super handy for them. The workplace, though, we take that for granted sometimes. We think, okay, right. We've got the right skills. We've already vetted them through the interviews. We hire them. And they show up and they're more than what the resume and the interview is actually depicted. And we're always surprised. I don't know why. And yet these sorts of nuances like you're talking about here would give us a chance to know more about what makes them tick. How do we put ourselves alongside them to help them do their best work? Or like what's going to get in the way of them doing good work? Those things you're sharing there, those examples and questions really tie into that. So what does this look like in practice if someone comes into the organization, they're new, you're like, here, fill this thing out and let us know everything about you, blood type, social security number. No, I'm just kidding. What does it look like in practice? You just, as part of the onboarding, you're like, we need you to fill this out. It's going to help us know more about you. Or is there some other way of approaching it?
Yeah. So you could use it in different ways. Of course, you can mainly that we started using that as more of the onboarding and then also team building type of situations, because like you said, knowing how to work with somebody, really creating that belonging is actually a good predictor of your productivity and retention. Research shows that. So when you have a new person coming on board, you have your team's me manual already created. So it's just a really one-page question and answers of how to work, who you are and how to best work with you. So when new person comes in during the first week, we give them a little nice package of, hey, here's the me manual of your team members. And hey, take your time and here's a template and we would like you to fill out your own. So once you have yours, we're going to incorporate that into our me manual for entire team. Mm-hmm. So once that's done, we share it with each other, maybe have fun and maybe ask questions and just really have a good laugh about it. That's a good team building exercise. And then we keep it in a shared place so we can always refer back if you wonder about somebody. Something just happened. I don't quite understand. Let me go back to me manual and see if that gives me a little clue. So we can always use it as a kind of conversation starter, even conflict management tools, or just step back and see who you're working with. So it's just a really casual way of doing that. And it really, we found it helpful to do the form, storm, norm part of building the effective team. That really speeds it up and then creates that belonging really quickly.
I've got all these different ideas floating around my head. Like one of the first ones, you'll appreciate this, someone who taught the team building piece. I have seen over the years, so many hiring managers that like, the team is so great the way it is. I like the dynamics. The people are wonderful. They're performing. I just want to add one more person in, but nothing else changed. And we know that's not possible. As soon as you add something else to the mixture, all the group dynamics can change. Some things will stay the same or some things mostly the same. But things often will change to some degree when you add someone else into the mix. And so I'm thinking about this not just from the perspective of, I need to know about Marie, who's joining our team. I need to know all about her to help her plug in. But hey, Marie, here's the Cliff's Notes for the other three people you'll be working with, like what they're like, what they're about, how, when they do their best work, guess what? Tiffany's a night owl, but Ben is up at 5:30 in the morning every day. Like just knowing some of those things about them would help them to get really connected in, because you keep using the word belonging here. And I'm like, I would be curious, do you have something specific you're looking for when it comes to that? Like, we see when that's happening or when it's not, or is it more of just a sense of we want people to feel connected overall?
Yeah, so now that's a good question. What we're looking for, it's really, like you said, it's a chemistry. It's almost like cooking. So it's just a little bit of tweaks. It's just really hard to pinpoint, you're right. Mm-hmm. But maybe another example might help kind of see how things might work. Like I said earlier, onboarding is not the only way to use it. It can be team building, or it could be used as the beginning of the project of cross-departmental project or something like that. But anyway, recently our L&D team was asked to join one of the teams that was creating a short video of what they do, what their department does, like a little commercial type of video that they can share with the organization. So while they're doing that, they wanted to share with each other in the department and then critique with each other so they can make it better video and before share it with anybody else. So a learning consultant goes in and trying to help them do that productive feedback session. Well, what she noticed was nobody was speaking, not even like positive feedback. Everybody was scared to give any feedback to each other. Mind you, this is a group working together with same people for a long time. It's not like new person coming in, or it's not a new team. Well, our amazing learning consultant just said, there's something I can do to help. So she brought in the me manual, not forget about the presentation and the video you're recording, and did this exercise quickly. And they found out something that they didn't know about each other, and they had a lot of laugh. It's almost like confirming, oh yeah, you're a little bit intimidating to me. I don't know if that's exactly what they said, but whatever might have been hindering that group from being open and honest and give the productive feedback with each other, they needed something magical happening there. Mm. So after that conversation, just magic happened. They were able to have that really constructive feedback, lean into each other's strengths, and be able to make their presentation better. So I don't know if that's helpful.
That is. That's a great example, because okay. Any one of us can point to an example, a meeting, a situation where there's a logjam there where I don't know how to overcome this because it's already awkward and it's going to get more awkward if we try to go right at it. And that's a great example of saying, forget about that. We'll come back to that in a minute. Right now, let's do this other thing. And when you get back around, you know what? It's not nearly as awkward as pointing out something about you that you thought was strange or funny or interesting. It reminds me, there was an organization I spoke with last year based up in Philadelphia. And one of the things they do when new people come on the team is they do this thing called Ways We're Weird. Everybody has some unique things about them. And so you have to come up with three things that are unique and interesting about you. And it becomes conversation starters. So one of the leaders shared theirs with me. And one of his three was he didn't like coffee. I'm like, hey, I don't like coffee either. And usually I feel like the person who's outside the loop when everybody else is in line at the Starbucks. But I just don't like it at all. And he said, me either. But then I learned other things about him from his other sort of ways he's weird. I was like, this is a great conversation starter. I've got to know all about this. Tell me how this happened, what the real story was. And so like you were saying earlier, it's hard to say, oh, that's the light switch is on, they belong, or the light switch is off, they don't feel like they belong. But you can sense that sort of chemistry. People start really connecting, start asking questions, start being interested in the people around them beyond just what can you do for me? What's your job about? They start looking at the things beyond that, the person behind it. I feel like that's part of that equation.
Yeah, exactly. So that creating the connection at the human level is so hard. And especially nowadays in this distributed workforce, the remote work. And we started using this tool before COVID, but this worked great because we started to onboard people remotely. And we have a lot of people all over the United States now. Bringing someone on board, when you're co-located, you have that opportunity to, hey, you're the new person. Let me tell you, tell me about your family. Just one of those old school water cooler conversation that is not happening. And it's just that type of connection when things are hard becomes really important to solve problems. And I've been saying repeatedly, and people are probably tired of me saying that, when you have difficult interaction in the same room, you go back out and then say, maybe grab them on the hallway and say, hey, whatever I said earlier didn't come out right. Can we talk about that? Or, hey, I'm sorry about that. Or, you look like you're offended. Can we talk about it? We can't do that anymore. You just turn off the camera and move on and leave that nagging feeling just festering. So once you have these personal connections, it'll be easier to really reach out and say, hey, I was on camera in a meeting with you. I just saw your face kind of like little twitched. And you feel more comfortable reaching out and solve those little nagging feelings as you go. So we have to be a little bit more intentional in our everyday lives to be able to live in this world now.
I like that example so much better, because I've talked about this when I used to have someone new come into the office, joining the team. We've got 25 people in here. If I walk around and point out every single name, you're going to forget all of them. So I'm like, who are the two or three they'll probably most likely work with, or two or three people that they would feel connected to because there's something shared in common. So I'm going around, hey, this is Clara. Listen, she's the biggest dog person you ever met. And I'm not even kidding. And I know you told me you had two dogs. Y'all are going to have some great conversations. And I would go around and try to make that personal connection with people so they would come back later. Even if they're like, show up in a room, I don't know anybody's people. Oh, there's my fellow dog lover. I'll go sit by her just to have a comfortable person for the initial whatever. But I love those. Like, I used to do that, but this is even better because this is getting us to a level of how do we work together? How do we do our best work as a team? How do we accomplish the things that we're all trying to accomplish without accidentally stepping on each other? Because inevitably it's going to happen, but we're going to forgive each other. We're going to I'm trying to think of the term I'm thinking of, like kind of the grease between the gears. When something does become challenging, we've got something in there to help with that instead of it just being just grinding on each other's nerves endlessly. So I think that's a tremendous, tremendous insight there. So we talked about this from our perspective as the HR nerds in the room. What are the people saying? What are the workforce saying that are in the middle of this? Do they love it? Is it strange? Is it different? Is it all of those things? What are they saying when they go through this the first time?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of everything. But luckily, my company, our people really are open to new things and have fun. So we already have that culture that we're trying to foster. So it was really well received. And maybe people feel a little bit weird. Why do you want to know about what my quirks are? Are you making me write it down? Or what ticks me? My favorite question is like, what annoys you the most? Not everybody uses it, but that's my favorite question. Yes. And so people feel a little bit funny about it, but in the end, people are good sports about it. Some teams may feel uncomfortable. Ask our, I don't know, the ops people, just everybody trying to do the me manual might be a little bit awkward, but you know, we can bring in the facilitators and make it fun and light. And it's just really easy to do. It doesn't take much time. It's free. You just have to have a form. And yeah, just to take it and fun, have fun with it. And then even when you have maybe doubt or resistance, this is not really important. Mm-hmm. HR people, we can make the case. Research is out there that just prioritizing connection over productivity is the fastest way to get the productivity. When people have the sense of belongings and feel valued and be part of something, the productivity goes up by 20-some percent. I was looking at some research and also performance boost 22%. When you have successful onboarding and you invest in that, creating that belonging, people's retention go up, productivity, and then they get up to speed quicker than you would just leave them on their own device. So they are real business ROI to be thinking of. So when you get resistance from people say, hey, actually, this is the fastest way to get to productivity. So maybe that's how you speak to the business folks. Ooh,
I like that. I'm always a fan of the business case in here. So that's always a good answer. That was actually one of the questions I was going to ask. If someone starts, I think that's a great way to point this out, because anytime you're asking someone to do something outside the norm, outside what they're used to, something that may be a little bit uncomfortable the first time, that's the thing you got to do is listen. It may feel weird, but here's the benefit. Here's the reason for it. It's going to be worthwhile in the long run. When you started doing this, was there anything that happened afterwards? You had a vision of what this was going to look like in practice. Anything that happened that surprised you, or any instance where people used the me manual in a way that you're like, I didn't even think about that, but that's a great, great use case or example.
The example I shared earlier about established team have struggling to give each other feedback. That was one of the situations that surprised me. I always thought bringing in somebody new or putting a new team together to do some project, those are the really easy to think of application, but I found that established team can also benefit from doing that. So that is one of the things. When we first started, we did it with our talent team as a pilot or second pilot program. We were well-established, cohesive, high-performing team at that point. But when we created this new manual and shared with each other, even with that, we found something knew about the person that you've been working side by side for this long and didn't know about. And that really helped us become an even stronger team. So maybe that was the most surprising thing. Hey, even when you feel like you know somebody, there's always something new you can learn about. So the effect is so huge.
I like that. Even for teams that know each other. See, in my head, I'm thinking onboarding is the best example, but right, if we get stuck, like the example you gave, or other types of situations where, you know what, we need to take everybody's attention off of the thing that it's on and let's put it on something else for a moment. Here's a question that wasn't in the me manual before, but it is in our new iteration of it. I'd love to hear you all answer that before we get started here. What's your thing? And use that as a way to start a conversation with them. It's like any icebreaker for any L&D activity, you know, any training activity, but it gets someone thinking and everybody's got an opinion on it or a quick answer for it. So I think that's a really cool approach to that.
Yeah, and exactly. So you can be creative. There's no set questions that you have to use. Customize to make it work for your organization or your team. Have fun with it. And the next iteration might be, and we haven't done it yet, but it probably requires higher level of psychological safety in the workplace to do the next level. But it might be also good to ask others on the team to add to the list. So if you're a manager, bring in somebody new, your team creates the manual for how to work with you, the boss.
Ooh.
Yes. So maybe that's another twist that you can make there. And of course, I didn't come up with all those things. Somebody wiser mention something like that, but that would be a probably good next step if you feel like that it's going to be helpful.
I feel like I had a conversation like this recently on the podcast. I was talking with the head of HR for Baylor University, and we're talking about some of the things they do, how to enable managers, a big focus of that conversation. And we were talking either in the recording or even before we started recording about that. And I said, one of the things we used to do when I ran an HR team is we would have the first technical sort of interview for a manager candidate, make sure they were qualified, had the right skills, everything else. The second interview was with the people who were going to be working for them. And they got to ask them questions. How do you lead? What's your style? Tell me about a time this happened. How'd you deal with it? Some of your team screwed up. What are you going to do? And they tried to get a feel for them as a leader. It wasn't the only influencer, the only decision-making tool we used in that, but we wanted them to feel like they had a little bit of a say-so in who they were going to be working with. And if the person comes in and is, you're going to do what I say, well, then we know they're probably not going to be the right attitude, the right culture fit for our organization. And so that was just a kind of a fun thing there. But that's what that reminded me of a little bit, where we're saying,
yeah,
this is going to be a little bit different because you're going to be talking to people who you're not reporting up to. You're not selling yourself here so much as in the same way you're selling yourself to people who are going to be reporting up to you, people who are going to be dependent on you for leadership and guidance. And right, you're almost marketing yourself a little bit in that conversation. And so it was a different connotation to many of them. That was kind of different and strange and fun.
Yeah. Ultimately. Yeah. It has to be a right culture to be able to do that. But I'm a big fan of that type of thing because it's like a matchmaking. It works both ways. And if your organization is that way, then it makes sense to bring that into the interview process. It's a realistic job preview. Is that what it's called? To have that experience so that team can also be sure that this person is going to be the great leader.
Okay. To,
yeah. So I like that.
Well, I'm going to tell you that you were wrong earlier. You said you were not a good translator. And I think you really are. You've translated this big idea into something very practical and tangible for everybody listening in here. And so you have done a really good job of that.
Oh, thank you.
If people have appreciated and liked this and like, oh, I want to know more about that or hear more about the approach, or I've got a question about using this, would you be okay if they reached out to you on LinkedIn to connect?
Of course. Wonderful. I would love that.
Sure. And get that into the show notes for this episode. So anyone that wants to hear more from Junko or wants to double check with her or ask more. I know that you had actually shared the template out at the conference. So you have that at your disposal. You're sharing that freely. So if anyone wants to see that, you're welcome to ping her and she'd be glad to get that to you. So thank you so much for joining me, for sharing your insights and your expertise and your passion for this. I love someone who's really focused on and caring about belonging and not in this fluffy sort of way. Let's give people real tactical, specific things they can do to build those relationships to where that's going to stand the test of time. And it's clear that you are doing that with the team.
Well, thanks for having me, Ben. I had fun.
Absolutely. I told you that you would. All right. To everybody else out there, I hope you got some good notes, some good ideas today. Think about what's in your meme manual. What kind of questions or what kind of answers would you give to some of the questions we heard from Junko earlier? And go back and replay this, listen to a couple of those, ask them of your team, and think about if this is going to be the right fit for your organization to create some of those better connections, belonging, and better value for the business, productivity, all that good stuff down the line. Thank you, and we'll catch you again next time on We're Only Human.
Thank you so much for joining me on the show today. I'm honored to have you as a listener. If you enjoyed this episode, please take 10 seconds to rate it at iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Also, if you know a friend that could benefit from today's conversation, please pass it their way. After all, a rising tide lifts all ships. To see show notes, sponsor information, and our full show archives, visit onlyhumanshow.com.